Job chapter 23. Verse 8. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. Backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Verse 14, for he performeth the thing that is appointed for me. And many such things are with him. The Lord will bless his word. Understand that our brother Anderson talked to you about the things mentioned in the Lord's message to Ephesus, the things that the Lord knew. It's interesting in those chapters to notice that he knew their works, their labour that hurt, their endurance. For Smyrna, he knew their poverty, their tribulation, the railing that was against them. In Pergamos, he knew where they dwelt, and so on as you go through those letters. We are in those letters brought face to face with the Lord, who is absolutely omniscient and who knows everything. Here in the Old Testament, we have a man who lived possibly about the time of Abraham, and this he knew of God. He said, he knoweth the way that I take. Good to know that he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Again, the words of the New Testament, your heavenly Father knoweth what things ye have need of. As we enter into 1974, we enter into it with our hands in the hand of a God who knows. We're often reminded he not only knows, but he cares and understands. Remember when a cousin of mine was leaving home some years ago, leaving Ipswich and going to Sudbury, his first job away from home. When I went with him to see his digs, we were taken by his landlady up into his bedroom. His bed had his head against one wall, right directly opposite the bottom of his bed was a framed text with a colossal eye, and underneath that eye, thou God seest me. I think she was a wise landlady. It would put the fear of death into anybody to lay in bed and look at that. Of course, where you have that in the Old Testament scriptures, it wasn't meant to be that way at all. It was the God who knew where Hagar was. The God who saw her. The God who cared. The God who met her need. And she said that this is the place of the God who seeth me. And so we learn that our Lord not only knows things relative to our service or our lack of service, but he knows in that tender way, that caring way, that gives us confidence as we go into another year. He knoweth, said Job, the way that I take. I commence reading a verse or two in front because it's evident that Job had been trying to know just where he was, trying to know why he was in such awful circumstances, trying to find a divine explanation for the calamity in which he found himself. Said, I go forward. Wonder if God will reveal his will to me there. He says, not there. He says, I go backward. Can I see the mind of God here? No, he says, I cannot perceive him. I look on the left hand, for he seems to be working that way. But I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, and I cannot see him. It is possible in the circumstances of our lives to be surrounded with calamity, to be burdened with care, to be smitten with trials, and in our calamity to turn this way and that way, look forward, look backward. What's the reason for this? Why am I in these circumstances? Maybe some of you are listening to me look back on the past year, and you don't understand the circumstances. You wonder why God led you that way. Many of you may be looking on to the coming year with fear. For who knows what lies before us in the year to come, if the Lord allows us still to be here. Remember coming down from Kilkenny years ago with J.B. Watson and E.W. Rogers and G.C.D. Howley, and we were discussing in the train various aspects of the work of the Lord. I was the wee boy then, of course, among the old men. And said J.B. Watson, always be very slow to interpret the will of God in the lives of other people, but be very quick to interpret the will of God in your own life. How easy it is when calamity hits somebody else's home. You say, well, of course I expected that. When you see the Lord's hand is heavy upon some other dear child of God, and you say, well, of course, you couldn't really think that anything else would happen. But when calamity and trial hits our own lives, the last thing we are ready to admit is that there's something in me that the Lord is exercising me about. But the New Testament teaches us that the chastening hand of the Lord should cause us to be exercised thereby. Dear Job was just that, looking forward, backward, each side, trying to find out why this had come into his life. When he couldn't find the why, he couldn't find the reason, he said this, he said, he knoweth the way that I take. He was confident that though he could not understand it, God knew all about it. While he could not understand it, there was a divine governing hand behind the scenes, planning it all, guiding it all. Of course, Job didn't know what you and I know. He'd never read the book of Job, had he? If he'd read the book of Job before these circumstances took place, well, he'd know all about it. He didn't know that there was a day when Satan entered into the presence of God. He didn't know that Satan had said, look, that man Job down there, fine Christian, isn't he? But he only serves God because he finds it pays him to. That's the gist of what the devil said. Said that man Job, well, yes, he's a good man, he's righteous, he's perfect, he holds fast his integrity, but he finds it pays, you've made him rich. And when Job lost his stock and his property and his family all at one stroke, you would see him searching about. What's the reason for this? Couldn't find it out. His friends thought they knew the answer. His friends said, Job, you've been a wicked old man. You've been hiding it all up. You've been pretending to be godly, but there's some sin in your life, and God's just put his finger on you. How easy to interpret things that way in the lives of God's people. How wrong those three friends were. They couldn't pierce into that invisible realm where Satan was active. Was it not true that because of Job's godliness, the devil had challenged God and said, he only serves you because it pays him too. So says God, I'll take away all his possessions, Satan. And I'll show you in the end that he serves me because he loves me. That would silence the devil. Maybe there's some dear saint of God and you've lost a lot of things. Maybe you've lost your possessions. Maybe some loved one in the family. Maybe in a financial way you've suffered. And you say to yourself, well, honestly and seriously before God, I tried to walk with him. I tried to please him. But everything's gone wrong in my life. What's the reason? Dear child of God, everything went wrong in Job's life. It wasn't because he was sinful. It was because he was perfect. It wasn't because he'd let God down, but because God knew he wouldn't let him down. Job was of such a character that he would stand in the test and he would silence the adversary. Job couldn't understand it. Maybe someone here, and you can't stand the past, understand the past. As we enter into a new year, possibly in many of our lives, there will be things we don't understand. Some of you, dear men and women, may be out of a job, you know. Possible, I hope it doesn't work out that way, but maybe in the present national circumstances. Some may find difficulties in their lives difficult to solve. Others may have to move from place to place. And others, who knows, there may be trial and suffering, bereavement, illness. Does the devil still act in the way in which he did in the Old Testament scriptures? Did not the Lord Jesus draw back the veil that hides that invisible sphere and say, Satan hath desired to have you all, that he might sift you all as wheat, but I have prayed for thee, Peter, that thy faith fail not. There is an awful adversary who still holds audience with God. Maybe desiring someone in this gathering today to test them, rob them, to, if possible, bring them down, make them lose their faith and trust in God. Job didn't know all that. All Job knew was in one night he lost everything. Did you notice, please, if you look a wee bit more careful at the margin of your Bible, it says, he knoweth the way that I take, authorized version. He knoweth the way that is with me, in the margin of the revised version. Job never would have chosen this way, would he now? Rich man choosing to be poor. Greatest man in all the East choosing to be despised. A man of health and vigor choosing to sit there outside the village scraping his sores off his naked flesh. I don't think he chose that way, do you? No, it wasn't the way that Job chose. It wasn't in that sense. He knoweth the way that I take, but he knoweth the way that is with me. As though there was a road, not of Job's choosing, a road of calamity and trial, and suddenly it just swept past Job, and unwillingly he was caught up in it. He was going on a road he didn't want to go, and something he didn't understand. I suppose it's when you're young you choose your path. You should never do that without much prayer. But when you're older, circumstances choose the path for you. And you find yourself caught up in a road you never chose, in a way of calamity that, if possible, you would do everything to get out of it. And Job found himself just caught up like that. How many, dear child of God, in this meeting today will find themselves in circumstances they would never have chosen? Circumstances that touched his possessions. Why, coming back to that, I know, the dear saints in Smyrna had been rich. Now they were poor. Any of us might have to tread that path. Calamity that touched his family. Ah, there are calamities in families, aren't there? There are dear parents whose hearts are torn out as they look on children who are not just what they should be. Physically, I mean. There are dear parents with a greater tragedy when bairns they've reared for God don't go on with God. They tread a path of tears and disappointment. Wonder if the God of heaven, after all, has let them down. Not a path any parent would choose. Sometimes it comes right across the path of the children of God. They can't avoid it. That pathway, like Job, you know, that touches our bodies. You know, that's when Job's wife broke. I have a great admiration for Job's wife, you know. You say, but I thought she said, curse God and die. Well, maybe her language wasn't quite as strong as that. She said, renounce God and die. But notice, please, she saw the greatest man in all the East brought down until he sat like a beggar. She saw a man who was very, very rich brought down until he got nothing. She saw him being mocked by the very friends who he thought were his wise counselors. And then she saw his body a mass of sores. And the dear woman's faith broke. And my dear sister, your faith would break if your man had that experience. The man you married when he was good looking. The man you married when he got a good job. And the man you married who was admired by everybody. If you one day saw him penniless and naked and his health gone, longing to die, would you still believe in God? Or would your faith break? I wonder why her faith didn't break before. For mine would have done. Oh yes, here was something in the way that he took, that took his health from him, made him curse the day in which he was born. God takes away the health of his people sometimes, doesn't he? Puts his hand very heavily upon his people. You wonder why? That chastening hand. Chastening not always because of our failures, but chastening in his school to make us more like Christ. Well, Job would never have chosen it. It came undesired across his path. I have learned that the lives of the saints are very much like that. Very much like that. He said this. He said, he not only knoweth the way that is with me, but he performeth the thing that is appointed for me. What's that tell me? It tells me not only that Satan intervenes to bring about my downfall, but that God has a plan for my life. It is appointed for me. No such thing as chance in the lives of God's people. No such thing as might or maybe. God, who's sovereign, stands at the back of the life of every dear saint. And a Father who cares with an infinite care. There is something appointed for you, and something appointed for me. Romans 8 comes in there, doesn't it? Like Job, we have to say that there are occasions when we do not know what to pray for as we ought. Job was there. Then says Paul to the Romans, but we do know this, that all things do work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. In the ultimate, there is something that God has appointed for you. Something that God has appointed for me. All his dealings with us in our lives have this objective: to conform us more to the image of his Son. Remember this. Not only has God that in view as the ultimate, but God has purposes in our lives for the present. Does not the New Testament teach us that with the trial, he also makes the way of escape? With the test, he also has the consummation. God has a will to bless us, and a will to make himself more precious to us, and a will to lead us in our lives that we might be better Christians than we have been heretofore. Yes, he's got something appointed for you and I. And his appointment is always our good, always our blessing. The road there may be difficult. So says Job, he performeth the thing that is appointed for me. He's working, he's moving, he's guiding this way or that way, bringing catastrophe or trial or pleasure as his will may be. Is all in his counsels to get at one end, to achieve his object, for he performeth the thing that is appointed for me. If he has a place of rule for you, my brother, well, he'll bring you through a path of education for that position. He performeth something now in the process of his dealings, that the ultimate result might be that you arrive at the thing appointed. As the Hebrew epistle, to those who are exercised thereby, it yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness. That's what he's appointed for us, the peaceable fruits of righteousness. What's he doing now? He's performing with his chastening hand upon us. The one is essential to the other. So says Job, as he thinks of this calamity in which he's found, He says he performeth the thing which is appointed for me. If only we could learn that his heart is extremely loving, his hand extremely kind, his mind is full of wisdom, and because he loves us perfectly, he plans only our good. The end of Job, the Lord blessed the end of Job, gave him double everything except a wife at the end than what he had at the beginning. That was the thing that God had appointed. The trials of the book of Job are the way God brought him there, the way God performed. Do you notice, please, to come back to our verse 10? But he knoweth the way that I take when he hath tried me. But you say chapter 1 and 2 say it was the devil that tried him. Well, yes. But behind the permission gave to Satan, God was trying him. Well, yes. God may use the devil as his servant. When the devil is brought into things, God says, so far shalt thou go and no further. Thou shalt not touch his life. The adversary cannot lift so much as his little finger against the child of God without divine permission. You can be sure of that. And so behind satanic attack, the attacks of the world, those who do not know the Saviour, we can look beyond all that and we can see one there who tries us. The Bible says the Lord did test Abraham. The following books reveal that the Lord led his people through the wilderness, gave them bread from heaven that he might prove them. And everything that God has ever made, he tests. Tests you and I in the path of life when he has tried me. God tries his people not to break us, tests us not to bring us down, tries us and tests us to prove the metal we are made of. All your large factories today, you have inspectors to try and test. The object of those that employ them is not that they might have stacks and stacks of scrap chucked on one side. It's to test the things so that those that go out of the workshop, those articles, might be of good value. They test, do they not? In order that those that are not up to the standard be put on one side and those that are good might pass through. God tested Abram. God tested Job. God tested Paul. God tested the Israelites. Tested them not that he might throw them on the scrap heap, but tested them that, as Job said here, when he has tried me, I shall come forth like gold. Of course, it's evident that we have here the molten liquid and the terrific heat of the fire. He who works with the golden liquid, working until he sees his face in it, then immediately extinguishing the fire. He says, he knoweth the way that has crossed my path. When he has tested me, proved me, tried me. He says, I'll come out of this crucible and I'll be gold without one atom of dross. I'll be the real thing, precious through and through. I think it was Harry Lacy that used to talk about the desirability of trial, the desirability of suffering in the lives of God's people. Afraid I couldn't rise that height. But if you could stand in Job's shoes, Job is saying here, and he hadn't got New Testament revelation, he's saying here that his experience in the fires of trial had this object in view, that Job might come out the other side of the trial precious, pure gold. Is that the way he deals with you and the way he deals with me in our lives? He knows the way. He allows the trial. He measures the suffering. He knows just how much we can take, though often we look up and say, Lord, I can't take any more than this. But he knows just how hot to heat the fire. He says, after it, we shall come forth like gold. One more thing, I'm going to finish. Notice, please, in that second verse that we read, verse 14, for he performeth that thing that is appointed for me. Then notice, and many such things are with him. What's that mean? Means that in the present moment, he has designs on your life. He has designs on my life. The trials and the difficulties and the problems, for the moment you and I may be in the crucible, he's performing the thing. He's working with the thing. He's in the place of operation. The thing that is appointed for me is doing that now. When you come through this bit of trial, my dear brother, my dear sister, you'll be more precious metal than you were when you went into it. That's not the end of it, you know. He's got other purposes for us after that. For, says Job, at the present, he's performing the thing that is appointed to me. Can I say he's got a lot more up his sleeve? For many other things are with him. Many other plans. Many other purposes for your life and mine. God won't finish with our education, will he? Until he lands us in the glory. I don't know what form we may be in now, but when we pass the tests of this form, there's another form to go on to. There's another trial tomorrow. But in all those trials, we can be sure of his care. And in all those trials, he'll make himself far more precious to us. You've only to read the life of Abram, have you? And Abram's life was a trial and a blessing. And a trial and a blessing. And a trial and a blessing. Until finally he takes his everything and he puts it on the altar for God, and God says, now I know. Then he says, with blessing I will bless thee. In God's school of education, where Job was and where you and I are, God will take us from one step to another. Remember, every test leads to a blessing. Every time in the crucible will make the gold more precious. And the the crucible, he strips us of self. In the crucible, he makes us smaller. In the crucible, he brings us down in order that in our lives there might be more and more and more Christ-likeness. He says, I shall come forth like gold. May God bless his word.